I want to share with you a story. We had a leaders meeting yesterday. I want to share this with you. It says there has been a shooting on campus of Florida State University. It happened just after midnight at the Stosier Library. Three people were injured, one critically. The government has been killed. The government has been killed. All of the students in our campus ministry at Capital City Church of Christ and Crossway Church have been contacted and all are fine. Please keep the victims, their families and the students of FSU in your prayers. And I don't know if, and I'll read on a little bit more, but sometimes, I don't know if you feel blessed in your life. We often feel blessed at different times in our lives, and that's the right thing to do. Regardless of what happens in your life, though, we should always feel blessed. So, but anyway, here's a story along with this. Jason Durfus, a brother in our campus ministry, was in the library during the shooting. He posted this last night on his Facebook page. I probably should have put on the big screen for you, but I didn't work that out. Anyway, it says, earlier tonight, so this is what he posted with a picture on his Facebook page. Earlier tonight, there was a shooting at FSU, right as I was leaving Stosier. I didn't know this at the time, but the shooter targeted me. He targeted me first. The shot I heard behind me, I did not feel, nor did it hit me at all. He was about 5 feet from me, but he hit my books. And here, you won't be able to see it, but here is a picture. He just hired out this book. And interestingly enough, it was John Wycliffe. So if you know who John Wycliffe is. He hit my books. Books 1 minute earlier I had checked out of the library. Books that should not have stopped the bullet, but they did. I learned this about 3 hours after it happened. Imagine that. You're checking out. This guy comes in, a gunman, shoots people. You're shot actually first without knowing that it's hit your books as you keep walking out the library. Only until 3 hours later, when he got home, did he get his book out and realise there was a bullet hole in his book. How crazy is that? He said, I never thought to check my bag. I assumed I wasn't a target. He seems pretty calm about it, doesn't he? When the guy's 5 foot away, the gunman comes in, shoots. It's like a general day, you know, in America almost. You know, walk in a library, there's a gunman, get shot, oh, big deal, you know. This is what happens every day over here. He said, I assumed I was fine. The truth is, I was almost killed tonight and God intervened. I know conceptually he can do all things, but to physically witness the impossible and to be surrounded by such grace is indescribable. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you would say that, wouldn't you? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But that's a really interesting story. So God works in amazing ways. Let's turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're in the book of Peter. If you're visiting here, welcome. If it's your first time, welcome. And I hope you're having a good time so far. And you're inspired by what you've heard and sung. So we're in verse 13. Are you there? So if you've got a tablet, phone, Bible, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority institute among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honour the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now this is a great text. You know, when I say the cross with people, I love using this particular passage, particularly when it starts talking about Christ. But I've got one point today and a title for my sermon. My sermon title today is The Great Equalizer. The Great Equalizer. And the reason I've named it that is because I think at the end of the day, Christ is the great equalizer. You know, Christ will bring the balance that you need to your life. It's an interesting text because initially he starts off with about having submission to rulers and masters. You know, and it's an interesting point because in Romans chapter 13, Paul does exactly the same thing. He talks about, being respectful to authorities. And it's kind of interesting because you think, I don't know about you personally, but for me, I grew up as a bit of a rebel. Matter of fact, I was kind of the black sheep in the family. I was always getting in trouble, wagging school, all these sorts of things. One night I was brought home by the police because I was riding my unregistered motorbike without a license, and the police found me because I went speeding through a give-way sign, and they pulled me over, put me in their car, took me home. Mum and Dad, you can imagine, they just freaked out, knocking the door from the police. Mum always wondered whether that was going to happen or not. But that was me, that was my life. And so the whole idea of, if I would have read the Bible at the age of 16, and I would have read, you need to submit to authorities, it's half the fun is not submitting, let alone to submit. That's half the fun. Half the fun is being a rat bag, Half the fun is being cheeky, all those sorts of things. But it's interesting here how the Bible really puts this emphasis that, no, we need to. Matter of fact, these things are instituted by God. And it's an interesting thing, and you've got to ask yourself, why? Well, I think probably for a good reason, that we need boundaries in our lives. Whether we like it or not, we do. I mean, I have a lot more respect for authorities now, and rightly so. I mean, I pray for our governors. I pray for our leaders. We need good leaders. You know, if there was an authority, let me tell you now, if you're in trouble, you're going to want a policeman or someone in authority there to help you out. That's the way it is. I mean, and it's there for a reason. But there's this whole idea that obviously they were under the microscope. You get this sense, he says, for it is God's will, verse 15, that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. You know, you get the sense that the disciples were kind of under the microscope. It's almost like maybe people are even trying to find fault in them. You know, what were they like? And you know that as a Christian at times, people will look at you in a way where they want to pick a fault. They try and find fault in you. And maybe this was going on, that they were trying to, maybe some of the disciples weren't actually being respectful. Maybe someone had it on them. He says, you know what, live such good lives among the pagans. Peter will say that as well. Be good. Because when it comes to respect, if people are going to respect God, they're going to look at your life. And there's a correlation. And we know that. You grew up with it. I grew up with it. The reason why I didn't become a Christian a lot earlier was because I rejected my religious upbringing because I saw the hypocrisy. And we do. We see the hypocrisy in the world. Churches are full of people. Someone says they go to church and you hear them swearing and you see their lives. You see them going, you think, what's the difference between you and the world? There is no difference. And so there's that lack of respect. And I think this whole idea of having that respect in our life, the way we treat authorities, the way we treat each other, where we have that upright life, not that we're perfect, but somehow brings honour to God with our lives. And that makes a big difference. He goes on and he talks about this whole idea of unjust suffering. He says, Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. So he goes on, he talks about submission to authorities, and then he talks about this whole idea is that how we need to submit. And you know what? Because by submitting, it doesn't mean it may always go your way. And you know that. And that's why we don't submit at times. Why do we get rebellious? Because it doesn't go our way. We try and do the right thing, but it doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, listen. So he says, you know, slaves, submit to your masters, whether they're good or not. Now, if you've got a good master, well, then amen. But if you don't, then still submit. Obviously, the temptation would be to rebel. And that's where the rebellion comes up. He says, for it is commendable for man to bear up under unjust suffering. I want to talk about the whole concept of unjust. You know, unjust. The Greek word is adikaios. And it means undeserved, without fault. So unjust suffering is you didn't deserve it. You're without fault. But let's talk about unjust suffering, because I think for our lives at times we struggle with the whole idea of unjust suffering. If I was to ask you, how many of you have felt like it's been unjust at the times you may have suffered in your lives? I'm sure you probably have. I know I have, definitely. Maybe it was abuse of some kind. Maybe at the hands of a parent. Maybe you felt like you're being abused. Maybe you've had some sort of sexual or emotional abuse at your times. Very unjust. When you think about the pain, what the news records, always remember this, what you hear in the news is literally a micro of what happens in the world. Okay, we sit here for an hour and a half. In that time, people have died. In that time, people have been abused. As we speak, someone is being abused. Hundreds, thousands of people are undergoing some sort of abuse or some sort of unjust suffering. Without a doubt. And they'll feel like, what did I do to deserve it? What did I do to deserve this? Maybe it was physical. Maybe it was the unjust suffering was persecution. Maybe it's when you first became a Christian. I remember when I first became a Christian, looking at the Bible, all of a sudden now I got this persecution from my family. I was living this black sheep, rebellious, arrogant life, and now I want to change myself and do something good, and all of a sudden now I'm being persecuted. You know, you're part of a cult, you're this, you're that, you're being brainwashed. And of course I wish I had the saying back then that my brain needed a good wash. And it did. My brain needed a good wash. But I was being persecuted. I thought, hang on. I mean, I would have been better off just stealing cars, coming home off my face, being drunk, bringing girlfriends home. I should have just kept doing that. While I was doing that, nobody was saying anything. Go figure. I was blown away. I thought, here I am trying to be good. I even started washing the dishes. And let me tell you now, when they saw me wash the dishes, they really thought I'd lost my mind. I'm serious. You laugh. I am serious. They didn't know what was going on. The lights were on in my bedroom at 6 o'clock because I was reading my Bible. And I heard my dad asking my mum, what's he doing? What's he doing? She said, oh, I think he's reading his Bible. I was like, they had thought, if they knew they could get hold of a deprogrammer, they would have got one. Go figure. Now, let me tell you, it was unjust. I thought, jeez, they're trying to do the right thing. Look what happens. That happens in our lives.
Yeah.
Let me tell you now, you decide to follow Christ. You decide to really follow Christ. I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm talking about really putting the Bible into practice. And you start trying to do the right thing. You watch what happens. You're wondering, you think, hang on a sec. I think I'm back on the wrong team here. What happened? And it seems very unjust. Maybe health issues. Maybe you lost a friend. You became a Christian and it all kind of fell apart on you a little bit. Children suffering. Man, I think about Royal Children's. I think about families whose poor little kids are in the cancer, Royal Children's Hospital right now, around the world, suffering. That's the hardest thing for a parent to see is you see your child suffer. No matter what it is, it's hard, it's tough, and it can seem very, very unfair. Very unfair. You know, my brother I just lost my sister-in-law, my brother. He's just beside himself. How are you going, John? I rang him the other day. It's hard. What? She got brain cancer at 52. 2 years later, gone. Took her to the very end. Hard. Why? How do you know? He's asking the question. Why? Why her? Seems very unjust. Financial misfortune. Losing a job. Nothing going right. Can't find a partner. Can't find a, you know, can't find a wife. Or maybe you did and you think, man, my marriage is terrible. How did I get here? So I prayed about it. I asked God to give me someone good and decent. And look what I get. Seems a bit unjust. I'm not talking about my wife, by the way. I saw Peter Borman looking at her. Like, I wonder how she's feeling. She probably feels that about me. And she tried to pray not to like me. But she didn't try to pray, she actually prayed. The truth of the matter is, we all think we deserve better. No matter how the wash is, we all think we deserve better. This is not right. Sandy's talking to Patrick saying, is that the way you feel about me? Shouldn't do that, Sandy. I see everything from here. She's tapping him on the shoulder going, is that what you think? You think you deserve better? Don't worry about that, Sandy. I can assure you, that's not the way it is. He's very lucky to have you. But it's true, we all think, and we don't know why things happen the way they do. But I love this scripture, verse 19, because it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. And that's really what it's all about. You know, and to me, you know, my next point will be, my point will be the Jesus factor, because I think that's what this is all about. But the sermon title is a great equaliser, because if something's going to bring balance to your life, someone's going to give you perspective. And true perspective, it's the whole idea of being conscious of God. Because if you're not conscious of God, you will lose perspective very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. And I know in my life, I mean, people ask me, you know, how do you do it? How do you do it? How come you're still doing this? Da, 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 da. I mean, well, I think, because to be honest with you, I'm conscious of God. And I want to be conscious of God. And I want to be conscious of God's will for my life. Paul asked the question, what were you thinking about this morning? What did you wake up thinking about? I don't always do this, but this morning I woke up thinking about my message, but also woke up thinking about Micah Cooper. You're shocked, aren't you, Micah? He's got his mouth wide open. He's definitely shocked. I did. I thought about Micah Cooper, because I'm studying the Bible with Micah Cooper after church. So I started thinking to myself, what am I going to talk to Micah Cooper about today? And God gave it to me, so we're studying out 1 Kings 18. I said to Micah, 1 Kings 18 this morning for you. He's like, okay, buddy, whatever that is, I'll nod my head. But I want to be conscious of God. How am I going to get through life without being conscious of God? That's what it's all about. And so God becomes the great equalizer. I don't have the answers. I couldn't answer my brother as to why my sister-in-law got brain cancer at 52. I can't answer you why there are children, innocent without a doubt, there in hospital dying of cancer and all sorts of issues. I can't answer your financial misfortunes. I can't answer the sexual abuse that you had when you were growing up. I can to a degree, because it gets passed on. I can tell you it's a result of people not becoming disciples. I can say that to you. I can say if there were more disciples in the world and everybody became a disciple, there wouldn't be these issues. And because of sin in the world, that's the problem. But why was one person born to that and someone born to something else? I don't have the answer to that. But I do have the answer that God gives us a solution. How to deal with it. And I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. That's the issue. Because in our minds, we fight these things. In our minds, we fight this battle. We fight this whole idea is we deserve better, we deserve better, we deserve better. It's not good enough. And no matter where you are in your life, and it's the weirdest thing, we live in a blessed country. In some sense, I guess you could call it blessed, maybe it's not. Because the wealth corrupts. And we've got it so good in so many ways, but it's not good enough, is it? It never seems to be good enough. Wherever we're at, no matter what you get, it's not good enough. And we get selfish, and we get entitled, and we think we deserve it. And that's why he says, hey, you know, it's commendable. It's commendable because he's conscious of God. Unjust. Without fault. Yeah, some of it is not your fault. I would agree with you. It's not your fault. Some of it is. But what will you do about that? You know, God gives us solutions. But it's not just to cope. It's to have a victory. It's not. This is not about coping. To me, this is about soaring. You know, I actually don't believe this is not just about okay, thanks. I need to be more conscious of God, so I'll grin and bear. You know what I mean? It's not about grinning and bearing. You know, okay, I'll carry my cross. I'll put on a brave face. No. This is about soaring. I believe these disciples, man, they were fired up. They were excited. They were happy to put up with it and go, yeah. It's a bit like the disciples when they got their beating. Remember that Sanhedrin? Acts chapter 4, they got a beating. They let him go. They said, stop preaching the name. He says, they left there rejoicing that they could suffer for Christ. That's the attitude. And we're not even close to that. What's the most suffering you've had to put up with? Someone saying no. You know, I mean, come on. And then we get to the main point for me. And I love this verse. I love these verses. Let's read it again. And this is, for me, the Jesus factor. Because this is where it makes all the difference. So it says, verse 21. So he gets to this point. And in verse 21 it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Think about that for a second. When he suffered, he made no threats. In other words, no comeback. No retaliation. No discourse. Think about how many times we fight back. How much we fight back. Just didn't fight back at all. Instead, and this is a real key, instead he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of